Resorts World Catskills, where luxury and excitement are so close by. Catch all the sports action and so much more at Resorts World Catskills. Dial *RWCAT to learn more.
Giants, a lot of injuries, which has to raise the level of your concern. Vernon not going to play, which you say he hasn't played yet this year, so at least we kind of know that territory. It's amazing to think this, but it's true. No Eli Apple is a loss for multiple reasons. One, he's certainly your number two corner. Secondly, when you don't have him, now you turn to Webb as your, you know, second corner. He's not great. So that's a big loss. Engram is a loss, and Latimer. You know, Latimer has very quietly become a very capable number three receiver. The one big play they had against the Cowboys was a Latimer bomb. He made a couple of really nice plays last week, and now you have to look to Russell Shepard, who has done absolutely nothing. So for the Giants to beat the Saints, you know, and can we step back a second, by the way? I'm not saying that the Giants are any great team. I'm not. But the way that people talk about the Saints is as if they're like some kind of iconic team. They're as flawed as anybody in the NFL. I mean, defensively, they've looked horrendous so far this season. And I know that their offense is good. Their offense is also better, considerably better, indoors than it is out. Breeze is better at home than he is on the road. So I'm not saying that the Saints don't score 23 points, but this thought of Saints are putting up 41 and the Giants are going to have to outscore them 45-41. Listen, let's just slow it down a little bit, no? You know, Saints rushing-wise are not great. You make them one-dimensional if you're the Giants. The Giants, the one thing they've done really well defensively, really well, is slow down the run so far this season. I mean, you know the recipe. Now the question is, can the Giants put all the ingredients together and make it work? I think they will. Now, is it blind faith that I think they will? No. I mean, I saw a lot of things last week that I was excited by. Now, you'll say, but that's Houston, and they're terrible, and I'm not saying those things aren't true. But you know what? Houston was in the same exact position as the Giants last week. 0-2, backs to the wall, home opener for them, and the Giants beat them every which way. And every single time you thought to yourself, uh-oh, swinging momentum, here comes Houston, the Giants came up with a big play every single time, be it an interception from Alec Ogletree or a fumble that I think Dante Dion recovered. They did a really good job of every time they had their backs to the wall, they came out firing, and they did. And even when Houston cut the lead to, what was it, 20-15, the Giants went right down the field. Eli Manning went 6 for 6, and they put a touchdown on the board, and they took a commanding lead in the final couple of moments of that game. So again, do I guarantee, am I ultimately that confident that the Giants win this game? No. But it feels like everyone loves the Saints this week, and quite frankly, I'm not exactly sure why. I know offensively they're very good. I know how good Breeze is. I also know that he does not have a great arm anymore. If there's one thing that he does struggle with just a little bit, it is the deep pass. So maybe you cut underneath some of his throws. And can you get pressure on him? And do you sell out to get pressure on him? I mean, these are the questions that we sit here and wait to be answered. But I was impressed in what the Giants were last week. You know, I mean, and I didn't think you would see that. And I didn't know that they had that. And they did. So I'm going to believe that they are going to give you more of that this week. And, you know, for all the how do you stop Michael Thomas and how do you slow down Alvin Kamara, you ask the same exact questions to the Saints. How are you going to slow down Saquon Barkley? How are you going to slow down Odell Beckham? How are you going to slow down Sterling Shepard? How are they going to do some of these things? And you know what the answer is? I don't think they are. I think the Giants win this game 31-23, something like that. Now, yes, I believe the Giants are going to score points in this game. And they're going to have to score points in this game. And that goes without a doubt. 800-919-3776. Going into week one, I think Giants Nation was very optimistic. After week one, I think that Giants fans still believed that this team was going to wind up doing something. After week two, that no one was on this bandwagon anymore. Everyone was off, right? And now we sit here after a good win week three, and I think you look at the Giants, you say, if you don't win this game, then you now have to win either in Carolina home to Philly, at Atlanta, home to the Redskins. How many of those do you have to win? Well, you're 1-2 right now. So you want to play the game? I mean, if you're the Giants and you lose at home tomorrow, you're 1-3. Now that game at Carolina becomes a really important game. And we've said this a million times. And I'm going to adjust it a little bit. Because it was always, if you're 3-4 through 7, you know what? I think you have to be 4-4 through 8. So you have 5 games before the bye. Can the Giants go 3-2 in the next 5? Because I will tell you what, if the Giants go 3-2 in the next 5, I like their chances to be a postseason team, or at least to go deep into December with a real chance at the playoffs. So you got New Orleans. It's a game they could win. You got at Carolina, which is a really tough game. You got home to Philly in a short week, which is a really tough game. You got at Atlanta, which is no way I think they win that game. And then you're home to Washington, which is a very winnable game. So how can you get 3? You beat New Orleans, you beat Washington, and you beat either at Carolina or home to Philly, and there's your recipe to 4-4. And then, look, to be fair, at San Francisco now with no Jimmy Garoppolo on a Monday night is a game the Giants have to win. Home to Tampa, and I know that they have a quarterback in whichever one that can throw the ball downfield, and they've got receivers, is a game you have to win. At Philly, you don't like. Home to Chicago is not an easy game, but is a winnable game. At Washington is a winnable game. Home to Tennessee, got to win that. At Indianapolis, you probably win that if you want to get to where you're going. And home to Dallas. So give me 4-4, and then give me 6-2, and then you know what? I'm a playoff team. Do I know they can do it? No. Do I think there's a chance that they can do it? I do. Am I all in on this team? No. Am I hesitant in picking the Giants to win this game tomorrow? Sure. But if they're going to get to where we have thought and maybe think they have a chance to go to, tomorrow's the kind of game that they have to win. Frank in Jersey. Frank, you're on 98.7 ESPN.
Good morning. How you doing?
Good, Frank.
First things first, I wanted to point out, I actually think that from what I've seen in last week's game or from what I've seen in the start of the season, I think that this year the Giants are more playing for the coach than anything else. You don't see anyone you don't see anyone losing, you know, you don't see Shermer losing the locker room real quick, which is something I didn't see in McAdoo.
Well, of course, because McAdoo was a disaster and the team got away from him and there was infighting in the locker room and they brought Shermer in with that intent purpose that's not going to happen, and you have not seen that yet.
I haven't seen that yet, and I do believe that Shermer has an ability to get the most production out of his offensive players. So I do see, this is not me thinking at the most optimistic point of view. I do see Shepard actually, what's his name? Russell Shepard or what?
Russell Shepard, yeah. The third receiver.
The third receiver. I do see him having a big game tomorrow against the Saints.
I don't know that happens. If it does, I think you're in store for a big offensive day for the Giants. And thanks for the call, Frank. I don't know how they stop Beckham. I mean, we've seen it through 3 weeks. If Eli has any semblance of time and throws the ball near Odell Beckham, he's going to catch and he's going to go. And I really love what they did week one with Beckham. I loved it. And you saw less of that in week two. And in week three, he was very, very good. And he even said this week, he said, you know what? I should have taken a ball to the house last week. I'm still recovering from that ankle, both mentally and physically. Giants, a lot of injuries, which has to raise the level of your concern. Vernon not going to play, which you say he hasn't played yet this year. So at least we kind of know that territory. It's amazing to think this, but it's true. No Eli Apple is a loss for multiple reasons. One, he's certainly your number two corner. Secondly, when you don't have him, now you turn to Webb as your second corner. He's not great. So that's a big loss. Ingram is a loss. And Latimer. You know, Latimer has very quietly become a very capable number three receiver. The one big play they had against the Cowboys was a Latimer bomb. He made a couple of really nice plays last week. And now you have to look to Russell Shepard, who has done absolutely nothing. So for the Giants to beat the Saints, you know, and can we step back a second, by the way? I'm not saying that the Giants are any great team. I'm not. But the way that people talk about the Saints is as if they're like some kind of iconic team. They're as flawed as anybody in the NFL. I mean, defensively, they've looked horrendous so far this season. And I know that their offense is good. Their offense is also better, considerably better, indoors than it is out. Breeze is better at home than he is on the road. So I'm not saying that the Saints don't score 23 points, but this thought of Saints are putting up 41 and the Giants are going to have to outscore him 45, 41. Listen, let's just slow it down a little bit, no? You know, Saints rushing-wise are not great. You make them one-dimensional if you're the Giants. The Giants, the one thing they've done really well defensively, really well, is slow down the run so far this season. I mean, you know the recipe. Now the question is, can the Giants put all the ingredients together and make it work? I think they will. Now, is it blind faith that I think they will? No. I mean, I saw a lot of things last week that I was excited by. Now you'll say, but that's Houston and they're terrible. And I'm not saying those things aren't true, but you know what? Houston was in the same exact position as the Giants last week. 0-2, backs to the wall, home opener for them, and the Giants beat them every which way. And every single time you thought to yourself, uh-oh, swinging momentum, here comes Houston, the Giants came up with a big play every single time, be it an interception from Alec Ogletree or a fumble that I think Dante Dion recovered. They did a really good job of every time they had their back to the wall, they came out firing, and they did. And even when Houston cut the lead to, what was it, 20-15, the Giants went right down the field. Eli Manning went 6-for-6, and they put a touchdown on the board, and they took a commanding lead in the final couple of moments of that game. So, again, do I guarantee, am I ultimately that confident that the Giants win this game? No. But it feels like everyone loves the Saints this week, and quite frankly, I'm not exactly sure why. I know offensively they're very good. I know how good Breeze is. I also know that he does not have a great arm anymore. If there's one thing that he does struggle with just a little bit, it is the deep pass. So maybe you cut underneath some of his throws, and can you get pressure on him? And do you sell out to get pressure on him? I mean, these are the questions that we sit here and wait to be answered. But I was impressed in what the Giants were last week. You know, I mean, and I didn't think you would see that. And I didn't know that they had that. And they did. So I'm going to believe that they are going to give you more of that this week. And, you know, for all the how do you stop Michael Thomas and how do you slow down Alvin Kamara, you ask the same exact questions to the Saints. How are you going to slow down Saquon Barkley? How are you going to slow down Odell Beckham? How are you going to slow down Sterling Shepard? How are they going to do some of these things? And you know what the answer is? I don't think they are. I think the Giants win this game 31-23, something like that. Now, yes, I believe the Giants are going to score points in this game. And they're going to have to score points in this game. And that goes without a doubt. 800-919-3776. Going into week one, I think Giants Nation was very optimistic. After week one, I think that Giants fans still believed that this team was going to wind up doing something. After week two, that no one was on this bandwagon anymore. Everyone was off, right? And now we sit here after a good win week three. And I think you look at the Giants, you say, if you don't win this game, then you now have to win either in Carolina, home to Philly, at Atlanta, home to the Redskins. How many of those do you have to win? Well, you're 1-2 right now. So you want to play the game? I mean, if you're the Giants and you lose at home tomorrow, you're 1-3. Now that game at Carolina becomes a really important game. And we've said this a million times. And I'm going to adjust it a little bit. Because it was always, if you're 3-4 through 7, you know what? I think you have to be 4-4 through 8. So you have 5 games before the bye. Can the Giants go 3-2 in the next 5? Because I will tell you what, if the Giants go 3-2 in the next 5, I like their chances to be a postseason team, or at least to go deep into December with a real chance at the playoffs. So you got New Orleans. It's a game they could win. You got at Carolina, which is a really tough game. You got home to Philly in a short week, which is a really tough game. You got at Atlanta, which is no way I think they win that game. And then you're home to Washington, which is a very winnable game. So how can you get 3? You beat New Orleans, you beat Washington, and you beat either at Carolina or home to Philly, and there's your recipe to 4-4. And then, look, to be fair, at San Francisco now with no Jimmy Garoppolo on a Monday night is a game the Giants have to win. Home to Tampa, and I know that they have a quarterback in whichever one that can throw the ball downfield, and they've got receivers, is a game you have to win. At Philly, you don't like. Home to Chicago is not an easy game, but is a winnable game. At Washington is a winnable game. Home to Tennessee, got to win that. at Indianapolis. You probably win that if you want to get to where you're going, and home to Dallas. So give me 4-4, and then give me 6-2, and then you know what? I'm a playoff team. Do I know they can do it? No. Do I think there's a chance that they can do it? I do. Am I all in on this team? No. Am I hesitant in picking the Giants to win this game tomorrow? Sure. But if they're going to get to where we have thought and maybe think they have a chance to go to, tomorrow's the kind of game that they have to win. Frank in Jersey. Frank, you're on 98.7 ESPN.
Good morning. How you doing?
Good,
first
Frank.
First things first, I wanted to point out, I actually think that from what I've seen in last week's game and from what I've seen in the start of the season, I think that this year the Giants are more playing for the coach than anything else. You don't see anyone you don't see anyone losing. You know, you don't see Shermer losing the locker room real quick, which is something I didn't see in McAdoo.
Well, of course, because McAdoo was a disaster, and the team got away from him, and there was infighting in the locker room, and they brought Shermer in with that intent, purpose that that's not going to happen, and you have not seen that yet.
I haven't seen that yet, and I do believe that Shermer has an ability to get the most production out of his offensive players. So I do see, this is not me thinking at the most optimistic point of view. I do see Shepard, actually, what's his name? Russell Shepard, or what?
Russell Shepard, yeah, the third receiver.
I do see him having a big game tomorrow against the Saints.
I don't know that that happens. If it does, I think you're in store for a big offensive day for the Giants. And thanks for the call, Frank. I don't know how they stop Beckham. I mean, we've seen it through 3 weeks. If Eli has any semblance of time and throws the ball near Odell Beckham, he's going to catch and he's going to go. And I really love what they did week one with Beckham. I loved it. And you saw less of that in week two. And in week three, he was very, very good. And he even said this week, he said, you know what? I should have taken a ball to the house last week. I'm still recovering from that ankle, both mentally and physically.
The Dave Rothenberg Show on 98.7 ESPN. It's time for a frenzy. A football frenzy. Any team, any player, any question. Call now at 800-919-3776 or tweet at Rothenberg ESPN, hashtag football frenzy, and ask us your NFL questions.
Away we go. The football frenzy is brought to you by Mercedes-Benz of New Rochelle. 800-919-3776. It's rapid fire. No, Dave, I love the show. I love you Monday to Friday with Humpty and can't be from 10 to 1. Exactly, Michelle. Here's what we're going to do, Michelle. I'm going to quickly quiz you. You're going to tell me if this works or not. Ready? Here we go. Dave, love the show. Big fan. Hi, Mr. Rothenberg. I just wanted to quick. Who's the better team, Jets or Giants? That works, right? There we go. Okay. Ty, because you love airtime in that producer's chair, start us out on a Saturday morning frenzy.
All right, Dave, tell me the better play this weekend. Saints, Giants, over-under set at 52. Jets, Jags, over-under set at 38.5. Should I go over on the Giants or under on the Jets, Jags game?
I would say over on the Giants. 52, I mean, we can, and that's up. It started, I think, the week at 50 or 50.5. I would go over on the Giants. I think for the Giants to win, and I will tell you what, if the Giants win this game, I really feel strongly that the over hits. If the Saints win this game, I think the Saints could win it like 30-20. If the Giants are going to win this game, they're going to have to score points. And they're going to have to get well into the 30s, I think, to win this game. 31-24, 31-27, 30-23, something like that. Giants have to break 30 for the first time in seemingly forever. Let's go to Connor in Long Branch. Connor, you're on the frenzy.
Next year, Jets, Super Bowl. Book it.
The answer to that would be probably not. Thanks for the call there, Connor. No. This is a long rebuild for the Jets. Now, is there a chance that they're a playoff team? I think the expectations for the Jets this offseason is for McCagnan to add the pieces to make this team at a minimum, when you come into the season, say, we're going to go to the postseason. Now, if you finish a game back or miss it week 17, that's one thing. But next year, there's no expectations on the Jets right now. Next year, that free season is completely off. Ryan, Long Island, you're on the frenzy.
Do you think now that the Steelers are exploring trades for Le'Veon Bell that they'll be able
Adam Schefter told me that they are. Told us that they are, right? I mean, that was his report, is that they are now fielding calls. And because I think the ship has sailed with him there. Even if you bring him back week 11, can that succeed? James Conner has not been Le'Veon Bell, but he's been good. Edwin Valencia tweets in, has Detroit turned this thing around? Will they beat the Cowboys this weekend? The answer to that is no and no. I don't think they're as bad as you saw week one. If the Cowboys lose tomorrow at home to Detroit, they're going to wind up winning four or five games this year. And I don't think they're that bad. I don't think the Cowboys are great, but I don't think they're at that level of ineptitude. Angelo in Connecticut. Angelo, you're on the frenzy.
Do I start Jay Ajayi coming off injury or James White against the Dolphins?
I would go James White, especially if you're in a PPR. Now, I know Ajayi had a couple touchdowns a few weeks ago, but, I mean, I'm not even exaggerating. He has a broken back. And I know you can play with the injury that he has, but I would be very fearful of that. By the way, Ty, we'll take a couple of fantasy football questions, but let's not go fantasy football crazy here during this frenzy. Johnny in Springfield. John, you're on the frenzy.
What team is most likely to move on from their quarterback in the next 2 years? Tampa, Dallas, or Tennessee?
I would not say Tennessee. I would say Dallas 1, Tampa 2. 800-919-3776. Michelle, are you playing in the frenzy this week?
Yes.
Terrific. What's your question?
Of the four rookie quarterbacks, rank them in terms of who will perform the best in week 4.
Oh, boy. I mean, I'm going to go Allen 1, Mayfield 2, Rosen 3, Darnold 4. And I can hear already, oh, it's because you hate the Jets. No, it's because the opponent is by far the toughest. I think Darnold might wind up being the best of the four. I just wouldn't pick him this week. 800-919-3776. David Tenza tweets in, how impressed are you with the L.A. Rams? I'm very impressed. I mean, how could you not be? But I will still tell you this. They're 4-0. They look great. They score a million runs. However, I'm in baseball mode, a million points. However, to think that this is not a flawed team would be incorrect. They don't have great edge pass rushing. Their offense may be the best offense in football, but defensively, they are not the best of the best of the best in the NFL right now. Let's go to Bobby in Union. Bobby, you're on the frenzy.
10 years from now, who will have the more accomplished career, Darnold or Mayfield?
Darnold. I think he's the better quarterback, and I think time will tell that, in fact, he's the better quarterback. Although I love Josh Allen, and I have the whole way through. Tommy in Jersey, you're up.
Best streaming quarterback this week.
Best what quarterback this week?
Streaming quarterback.
Meaning what guy can you throw in there if you're without a quarterback?
Yeah, so my quarterback's on a bye.
So you're looking at like a third-tier quarterback who can buy you a week. I think Case Keenum is not a terrible play. I think he'll probably have pretty good numbers. Does that work for you? I would think so. 800-919-3776. Let's go to John in Summit. John, you're on the frenzy.
Hey, how's it?
John, you know what's good about you? And Michelle will not buzz you. You fumbled. What happened was you were going in. You were at the two. You fumbled. But you know who jumped on the fumble, John? You did. So go ahead.
With respect to Le'Veon Bell and the Jets, do you think that the money that they would allegedly play to Le'Veon Bell would be better used in picking up free agents and drafting better?
I think you can do both. I mean, I think if you're the Jets, you can sign Bell to a big deal and draft well and still sign a lot more free agents. If it meant it's Bell or a pass rusher, I'd go with the pass rusher. If it means it's Bell or a wide receiver, I'd go with the wide receiver. But if it's Bell and, yeah, of course. And the Jets are going to be way under the cap next year. You're going to see a revamped team for this club next season. Some of the pieces will remain. Leonard Williams will get signed. Tremaine Johnson will be here. Both safeties will be here. A couple of pieces on the offense will be here. But for the most part, you're going to see a completely overhauled team for the Jets. Ryan Long Beach, you're on the frenzy.
Hey, Dave, for the Jets to win tomorrow, what do you say?
No. He can say, hey, Dave, Michelle. He can say, hey, Dave. You know, just throw it in there. Go ahead. Ryan, go.
For the Jets to win tomorrow, what needs to happen?
They need to score more points than the Jaguars. They can't turn the ball over. They need to win the battle of field position, and they need to limit third down conversions for Jacksonville. Big, big, big. Number one is you can't turn the ball over. And you can't give them short fields. You know, Jacksonville starts at your 47. Jacksonville starts at their 43. No, you have to play smart football. And you know what? outside of the first week of the season, we haven't seen the Jets play smart football. We haven't seen the Jets play disciplined football, and that needs to change. Because if you don't do it against Miami, who we're uncertain how good they are, if you don't do it against Cleveland, and we think they're at best a mediocre team, then how in the world are you going to get by a team like Jacksonville when you know that's a good football team? Noel in the car. Noel, you're on the frenzy.
Hey, how you doing?
Now that was the way to end it. All right, are we going to really end it? Like, Ty, do you have a question?
Yes, I do have a question. Does Ryan Fitzpatrick play well enough against that vaunted Chicago Bears defense to keep his job through the bye week and into week six?
I'd say probably not. I think that this is probably the last start for Ryan Fitzpatrick. That Bears defense is really good. I think they'll get to Fitzpatrick, and I think, you know, if you're the Bucs, you need to know. You need answers on Jameis Winston, and you need to give him some starts. So I think this is probably it for Fitzpatrick. Now, if you win and he plays beautifully, then I think you have a conundrum on your hands. All right, 800-919-3776. Mish, blow the frenzy dead. All right, not bad. For week four, it was pretty solid. We had a couple of slip-ups here and there, but for the most part, a good job. Let me bring him in. You know him for his fantastic hits on this station, on the Michael Kay Show, on Humpty Canty Rothy, on that show, and on this show, the Dave Rothenberg Show on Saturday mornings. The founder of pregame.com, the one, the only, RJ Bell. Good morning, RJ.
Hey, Dave. You know, it's very encouraging because, let's be honest, other than you, the people on the show's Thursday show with Kay and your show on Friday, not big gamblers. But the idea of the Vegas perspective compared to their sports talk perspective, it's resonating. And to me, that's great because if gambling talk is just with gamblers, it's going to be very limited. But, you know, my grandfather just passed away, 95.
Oh, we're starting to hear that.
Yeah, about, you know, a month ago. But it was time. But, you know, obviously still tough. But he never made a bet in his life. But every time, and I was betting in high school, I can't lie. Every time I was hanging out with the buddies watching the games, he'd walk in and say, who's favored? It wasn't he was going to bet it. It's just how do you tell a story about a game
right,
unless you know who's favored?
Yeah, so, what's the expectation to happen in this game?
Absolutely.
All right, we have a lot to do. And we're going to line up the calls today for you at 800-919-3776. I like to start with the locals and then kind of move on from there. So we'll start in time order, and that's tomorrow, 11 o'clock pregame, by the way, right here on 98.7 ESPN. 1 o'clock kickoff, Jets in Jacksonville. Now, yesterday on the show that you joined us every week on Friday at noon, you said you really like the Jets in this one, right?
Yeah, not one of my best bets, but I certainly like the Jets. And the thinking is you've got a well-coached team. And I know it's hard sometimes when a team isn't winning to say, oh, our coach is great. But in Vegas, the consensus opinion is the Jets have a good head coach, a good staff. And to me, when you've got a team that's inept on offense, and the only thing, and I'm talking about the Jags, the only thing that makes it seem like maybe they're not is that game against the Pats.
Right, and Fournette is a legitimate player who's supposed to play tomorrow.
Yeah, I, you know, I'll be honest with you. Some serious people I know think the Jags are better without Fournette, Dave. And here's why. It's because it changes their play calling. Meaning if they would call a more aggressive game with Fournette, they'd be better with him. But since it moves them to the ground and ground and pound, it's really something that doesn't work anymore. I mean, tell me the ground and pound team in the NFL that's going to beat the Rams.
Oh, no. I mean, you got to put up at least 27 to beat the Rams, it feels like, right?
So how much is Fournette worth if it changes the game calling of the Jags to be more conservative because he's on the field?
Well, that's a valid point. Now, I love this. You put in your notes this week that Vegas would actually think the Jets had a better chance of winning this game if Josh McCown was starting over Sam Darnold.
And it's a good example of what we're going to talk about with the Pats, which is Belichick has an approach where I will slightly decrease my chance to win in September to max my chance to win in December and January. And I think the Jets are thinking the same way. McCown, maybe, and I think it is the Vegas consensus right now, would be about a point better. So a line like this, let's say if the line is 9 with Darnold, maybe it's 8 with McCown. But, boy, does anyone think that would be the case in 3-4 months. Maybe so. Maybe it's about break even there, but what about next year? So with an eye towards the future, I think the Jets are making the right decision. It is noteworthy, though. There is probably a little sacrifice right now to get Darnold his reps. Now, do you agree with that?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, listen, sometimes to see the big picture, you have to take a step back. And is McCown, he should be. I mean, he's been in the league for 15 years. He's coming off a really good season last year. Does he give you a better chance to win one game? Yes. But does he give you a better chance to have a successful future? Absolutely not.
And I'll tell you this, one of the great curiosities of last NFL season was McCown was worth more than Wentz. Because, as you know, the Jets had a horrible backup situation, and the Eagles had Nick Foles. So when Wentz went down, it was worth about 4 points. And last year, McCown was worth about 6 or 7 because of the backup situation.
All right, 800-919-3776. You want to ask our good friend RJ Bell any kind of a question today, who you like, who he likes, and get some knowledge from him. Now, this is really interesting, and this isn't even a gambling-related thing. The Jaguars had no play of longer than 15 yards last week. I don't know if that kind of stat is kept, but I wonder the last team that didn't have a play over 15 yards.
Yeah, and I mean, again, that Pats game, because the Pats are so slow, and they were and Jacksonville was able to take advantage of it, it's going to change that Bortles conversation for weeks and weeks. And now that the left tackle, Robertson, out for the Jags, you know, for the season, very key, great defense. But, boy, when you're getting a ton of points, and this is probably a teaching moment here, quickly, it'll be interesting. Right now, the Jets are getting 7.5. Now, how many points are 7.5 worth? How valuable is those points if, let's say, the total is 55 versus this total? And
right,
the total, for those that don't know, the over-under combined points projected in this game, it's 38.5. So if you can get over a touchdown underdog in an expected low scoring game, those points are even more valuable. I like the Jets.
All right, Jets in the points tomorrow from RJ Bell. Now, I like the Giants. I'm the only one on the show that I do that likes them. Rick and Chris are both big into the Saints for a couple of reasons. A, I think they think they're better. B, they don't see anywhere the Giants stop them defensively. C, the Giants are without Vernon and Eli Apple and Evan Ingram and Cody Latimer. But you and I are both on the Giants side of this.
This was one I evolved, and this is a great example of, I start looking Sunday night, and it's great to bet early. As early as you've got an opinion, it's better to bet early because the line isn't shaped up yet. Remember, limits change overnight, even if you're in the biggest book in the world. Sunday, looking ahead a week, you can get down $2,000-$3,000. Now, listen, for most people, vast majority, that's more than enough. But for the biggest bettors in the world, that's not enough. Now, come Monday morning, maybe you can get down 10,000. Now, come Thursday, the limits go up again, 20, 30,000. And then come game day, 100,000 you can get down, no problem. Why? Because they trust the line much more, the bookmakers do, as the week progresses. So, to me, early in the week, I didn't really like the Giants here. But then I dug deeper, and check out this trend. When the Saints are playing back-to-back road games, you remember they had a track meet in Atlanta last week.
They won in overtime. Let me interrupt you for 1 second because I'll lose it, my train of thought. The Saints basically played 5 quarters last week.
Yes.
Does that have any impact
I think in
your selection?
I think because they are playing a second road game, it does. And the fact that they had a must-win game, and it's kind of absurd to say, against the Browns the week before, and it was a war, and they were lucky to win. And then you add in 5-6 days before that, the emotions off of losing that shocking loss to Tampa Bay. I think New Orleans is, right now, you've got to say they are psychologically tired. Off the Bucks, off the Browns must win, off a track meet, now a second straight road game. And here's the stat. When the Saints, back-to-back road game since 2012, 9 times, it's going to be the 10th, 1-8 straight up, they've lost by an average of 11 points per game, 2-7 against the spread. Why would the Saints be any worse than any other team? One, they're not good on the road. Two, they're a dome team, so it's even tougher in the elements. But number three, think about the geographic reality of Louisiana. Most of those trips are longer than that Northeast corridor, and because of that, it's harder to win back-to-back road games. I like the Giants especially at plus 3.5.
And on top of it, I mean, one bad game defensively, okay. Two bad games defensively out of two. Now you're certainly paying attention. They've been dreadful in three games defensively. RJ, 421 on average the opposition is racking up against this defense.
And I mean, what was the big narrative, Dave, last year? It was, oh, look, the Saints.
Their defense was better.
Their average is not a little above average, and now they can run the ball. To me, this is a classic Football Outsiders assumption. If a team makes a dramatic jump in a side of the ball, defense in this case, usually the next year is somewhere in the middle between the bad, or let's say jumps can go in both directions, right? Good or bad. But it usually middles out a little bit. I think we're seeing that. I think ultimately the Saints won't have the worst defense, but it looks like they're 24th, 25th, where last year they were maybe 15th, and the year before they were maybe 30th. The fact that it's in the middle, it doesn't always happen, that regression, but it looks like the Saints, it's happening to them.
It really does. 800-919-3776. Justin in Toms River. Justin, you're on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, good morning, guys. Hey, good morning, guys. I love the show.
Justin?
You know,
how
I call in every week. And I want to gloat a little bit about calling the Saints on the money line last week. And I definitely love the Jets pick. I think the Jets are going to keep this game really close at 7.5 getting. I also like the Chiefs given 4, and I also like the over in the Packers game. What do you guys think?
Well, let's start, if you don't mind, Dave, with the Packers, because I really don't like that. And here's why. You got to wonder about not only the health right now of Rodgers, but his concerns about durability. Meaning, do they really want a really fast pace in this game? Because it's not just efficiency that dictates points, it's pace and efficiency. And I think Aaron Rodgers, even banged up, is quite efficient. I don't think he's as great as he was 3 years ago, but still, top couple quarterbacks, no doubt about it, in the NFL. I just think if they get any kind of lead, and when you're laying 9.5, you expect to get a lead, I think the Packers are going to take
the... You misheard the question. I like the over in the game, not the points.
No, understood.
The over,
no, no, no.
45.5.
No, I was... And actually, it's down to 44, so if you like the over, find that 44. I don't like the over, because I think if the Packers get up, they're going to slow the game down.
All right, good stuff from Justin, and he always calls to brag about how sensational he is. Maybe he should move out to Vegas.
And listen, let me be clear. A drunk baby flipping coins. Now, we didn't give the baby any booze, but if he got into the booze, hits 50%.
Or even if, like, the teeth are bothering and then you rub a little alcohol on them, we can use that.
Yeah, or the binky. Now, listen, my mom says she never did this to me, but put a little whiskey on the binky. I've heard about that.
Sure.
I don't know. Now, I don't have kids, so I can't judge all this. But what I will say is a drunk baby flipping coins hits 50%. The best bettor in the world. So up at pregame.com, we've got a guy. He's our NFL specialist, Steve Fezzik. Fezzik is the only guy that won the Super Contest twice, which is the biggest contest in the world when it comes to the NFL betting. He actually did it back-to-back years. He hits about 55. The difference between random, which is 50, and the best of the best is 55. It's 1 out of 20 games. But that's the key. And so that over could easily win. It's just, in my opinion, it's not going to win enough that you can lay the minus 110. That's how bookies are dumb. Let me tell you, not every bookie, but in general, it's going to be hard to find richer guys that are dumber than bookies. Because they got one thing right. They got that minus 110 right.
Of course.
And that's it.
The Dave Rothenberg Show on 98.7 ESPN.